Lord God sustains, doesn't He? Do you feel blessed today? Sometimes, here's what I think. I think if 99 things are right and just that one thing is wrong in our life, it robs our joy. And we become grumpy Christians. Is there such a thing? Can there be a grumpy Christian? We will do that. Okay. Now, I want to turn that completely upside down. If you've got 99 things that are wrong in your life, and you've confined the one thing that's right, let's just be joyful. Let's just celebrate that. We can always find reasons to have our frown on our face. But I taught you a couple weeks ago how to turn that frown upside down. Be thinking about the goodness that God gives us. Why? There's so many things. If we were to start listing them, how good He is, His promises, the very lives that we have, the list would be endless. And start thinking about all the blessings in our life. That's a challenge. That's probably a great exercise for you. A spiritual exercise would be to have a journal in every moment. Just carry it around with you. If there's something that comes to your mind that you're thankful about, write it down. And then when those moments are hard, go through that list. Oh, yes, I'm reminded of that promise. Oh, yes, I remember You did that for me, Lord. That will turn your frown upside down. You want to live a more joyful life? You want to take the blessings that God gives us and exponentially apply them to your life? Start thinking about God's goodness and let that reign in your heart. Let that reign in your mind. Be thinking about eternal things. We win, church. It doesn't matter what happens in this life. We get a handful of hours on this side of life. Do you understand that this life lasts about this long, but eternity never ends? Have you read the last chapter of the book? We win, church. We have reasons to celebrate, reasons to be thankful. Here's the sad thing, the scary thing. It terrifies me, actually. If we're going to live forever and life really only lasts this long, Brother James says it's like the mist or the vapor. It's here 1 minute and gone the next. In this amount of time, we have to figure it out. We have to lean into what God has for us. We have this much time to figure it out, but then we live forevermore with Him. Be thankful, because forever with Him, that beats any day that we could ever possibly imagine. I have not had any caffeine yet. I'm saving myself for what's going to happen later. But I am a little bit motivated. I'm a little bit excited. Can you tell that this morning? Sometimes I don't need caffeine to get this way, because God is going to meet us here and going to bless us through what He has given me to convey to you. I'm going to continue on in this series of sermons. This is the last one of a series of four. It's called How To. We've discovered how to find purpose, how to turn your frown upside down. Last week, we decided and we found out how to dress for success. This week, I've saved the best for last. How to be blessed. How to be blessed. Now, I think that's something that we could all relate to. I think each one of us would probably say, yeah, Pastor, clue me in. I want to be a part of this. I want to be blessed. Who wouldn't want God's hand of favor upon their life? Who wouldn't want the blessings from heaven to flow into their life? I think each one of us wants God's favor. Each one of us wants God's great blessings to flow in our life. That would be each one of us, right? I'm going to unpack something that's very simple this morning, and I might be oversimplifying it, but then I'm going to give you an example found in God's Word, which I think epitomizes the foundational principle that I'm going to present to you this morning. If you want to be blessed, there is a pathway to that. You're not blessed just because. You're blessed for a reason. Who wants to be blessed? Show of hands. Go ahead. Anybody want that? Who already feels blessed? I think there's avenues to even be more blessed. I'm going to present to you three reasons why I want you to be blessed. Now, as pastor, I want this for you. The first reason is I just love you. I love you with all my heart, and I want you to experience God's goodness. I want His goodness to reign in your life. I want blessings to flow from heaven because I want you to experience and live in what Jesus said is life abundant, life in the full. I want you to experience that because, well, I love you. And I think if you look around, you love the people that you are surrounded by right now, and you want the same thing for them. You want all of us to live a blessed life. Now, the third reason, I'm going to call it the back side of blessing, I'm going to save for last, and we're going to circle back to that in a little bit. That might be the best reason. But the number two reason that I want you to live a blessed life is because when you are blessed, that is an indication of something else. It's a reflection on your spiritual condition. Something else is going on in your life. If I find that God is blessing you, God's hand of favor is upon you, great, I want that for you, but it's an indication of something deeper that is happening in your life. And that's the thing that I want for you the most. You see, if you're living and experiencing a blessed life, it's an indication that you have put Him first in your life. We all want God's faithfulness. Nobody in this room would say, I do not want God's faithfulness. We all want that. But here's what must precede God's faithfulness. Jeff, if you want God's faithfulness in your life, here's what you must do. Here's what we all must do first, and that is to be obedient. Be obedient. It's easy, though, to follow rules. If I were to say to you, the pathway to be blessed is to be obedient, and then God's faithfulness will reign, and blessings will flow from heaven, then sign me up. What are the rules then, Pastor, that I need to follow? I'm obedient. I like to follow rules, especially the speed limit. Most of y'all are rule breakers. But if it were as simple as following rules, just following the rules, and that's all it took to be obedient, many of us could accomplish that. Is that the pathway to blessings, being obedient that way? What if our obedience looked like this instead of just, well, the pastor says, I must do this and that and the other thing. I must read my Bible enough. I must come to church enough. I must pray enough. I must put enough on the plate. I must do all of these things. Follow all the rules. Don't do this, but do that instead. Follow the rules. The pastor says I must do these things, so I do them. I'm obedient. God will be faithful then, right? And blessings will flow. What if obedience looked like this instead? You fall head over heels in love with the Lord Jesus Christ first. If you did that, obedience is simple. Obedience is easy. It's not hard. It's not just following the rules. You will follow rules, though. That's the thing. You will end up following the rules, not because the pastor says so or because, well, I'm a rule follower. You will follow the rules because that's just what you would want to do to honor the Lord God Almighty. Will you want to read your Bible? You will, because you love the Lord and you will fall in love with His Word. You will want to pray, and not just for yourself. When you love the Lord, you will see the world the way the Lord sees the world, and you won't pray for yourself. It's okay, but you will pray mostly outside of yourself and for others. You will come to church not because you have to, because you get to. Oh my goodness gracious. This family reunion that we get to have once a week, this should be a believer's highlight of their week. It recharges our batteries. It makes us feel good, and it glorifies the Lord God. Being obedient is easy when we fall in love with the Lord Jesus Christ first. If you don't know Him or love Him, or you've not given your life to Him, obedience is hard. I dare say it's impossible. It just can't be done. So the trick and the key, you want to know how to be blessed, it is as simple as this. Fall in love with the Lord. Give your life to the Lord. Make the Lord the highest priority in your life. Now I can stop. I can stop. I'm not going to. The food's not ready yet. Celia has not made all of the potatoes yet. She's back there working right now. Celia Guffey, when you see her, just give her a hug and tell her thank you for everything that she's doing to put this together. She is a humble servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, and she has a team of people helping her. You are going to be blessed, but I have to keep going until Celia says she's ready. I could stop right there, though, because the key of how to be blessed is as simple as falling in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it's just a domino effect. Easy things happen after that. You will be obedient. You will do the things that honors the Lord, and then He will be faithful. His promises will be unleashed. Blessings from heaven will flow. Did I tell you there's a backside of blessing that I'm going to get to in a minute? That's the best part. Hold on. I could stop there, but I won't. Because I want to give you the best example that I've found in God's Word about being obedient. You could think of this as a litmus test, because this might describe whether or not maybe we aren't as obedient as we think we are. Or maybe, back it up a step, maybe we don't love the Lord, Pastor, as much as we think we do. But there is a beautiful, perfect example in God's Word that will describe to us whether or not we are obedient. But here's what's neat about this particular passage of Scripture. It is the only one. You want God's faithfulness? You want God's faithfulness to flow in your life? Yes, you would raise your hand. God's faithfulness will come. And there is only one place in Scripture where the Lord God Almighty says, I guarantee it. I promise you this. As a matter of fact, He goes on to say this, test me. Test me, the Lord God, test me and see if blessings won't flow. It's the only place. If you're obedient, God's blessings will flow because of His faithfulness. Haley, He's promised it. Test me in this, says the Lord, and just see if this won't happen. Now, this is probably a familiar passage of Scripture to you. Do I have permission to speak with truth this morning? God's Word is going to do the speaking. Now listen, there's places in this that's going to, it's going to feel a little rough. But we need to understand this. We can use this as a litmus test, but I don't want to just use it as a test and say, I'm failing, or I'm passing, or I'm doing okay. I want you to take this passage of Scripture and ask the Holy Spirit right now. We're going to take time to pray over this. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you, which camp am I in? How do I feel about this? And I'm going to give you something practical to do that's really going to help you flip the switch. Because without this skill set, it's hard. But with some understanding and some heart change, what I'm going to present to you today is so easy and simple. We need to ask the Holy Spirit in. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, You are good. And this morning we call upon You to send Your Spirit to guide us and to direct us. As we unpack this passage, let it speak to us. Let Your Holy Spirit guide us. Let us find Yourself in Your Scripture this morning, Father. Father, we want Your blessings to flow. But we don't want them unless first we're obedient to You. In Jesus' name, we all said amen. Amen. We're going to turn to the last book of the Old Testament. The book of Malachi, or as my father would call it, the book of Malachi. He'd say, son, that's the Italian prophet. He knew his Bible. The book of Malachi is interesting because God is having a conversation with the Israelites through the prophet. So I want you to hear it this way. This isn't just God's words. God is having a conversation with the Israelites, and they are speaking back. Now, here's what I want us to do. I want us to put ourselves in the place of the Israelites. Because there's a series of questions that are posed, and I want us to see if we find ourselves here. One way or the other, we will. And that's the lens I want you to hear this, because this isn't just for those people, the Israelites, 2,500 years ago. This is for us as well. The same truths, The same truths from an eternal, unchanging God apply then, apply now. Amen? I'm going to start reading in verse 6 of chapter 3. This is the Lord God having a conversation with the Israelites. If you'd like to stand for the reading of the word, whatever you want to do, if you want to raise your hands, close your eyes. These are not the words of Pastor Steve, though. This is the Lord's words. Starting at verse 6. I, the Lord, do not change, so you, the descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. In other words, God is patient. Ever since the time of your ancestors, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. We have such a good God. They were being disobedient, but this is what he says. Return to me. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? And then God says this. Yikes. Will a mere mortal rob God, yet you rob me? But you ask, how are we robbing you? God says this. In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. And then he says this, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it is ripe, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. Praise be to the Lord God for the reading of his word. God says, test me in this. And see if what I'm saying isn't true. Here's what an obedient servant of the Lord does. Obeys everything that the Lord God has commanded. The Lord realized, though, that the nation of Israel was being disobedient by not bringing the tithe into the storehouse. Or as the Lord called it, the whole tithe. What is a tithe? A tithe comes from the Hebrew word called ma'ashra, which means a tenth. The ma'ashra, a tenth, the first, the best, the first fruits of what God would give the people. The very best of what they had. The Israelites were to bring the best, the first, 10%. Not hold that back, not for themselves, but bring it to the storehouse. The best and the first, 10%. It belonged to the Lord. And they were to bring it to the storehouse. And the Lord God realized that they were being disobedient. They were being disobedient. Can we back up a step? Because they were not head over heels in love with the Lord God Almighty. If they were, they would be obedient. And they would do this just naturally because the Lord God asked them of this. Simple. But they weren't doing it. And the Lord God has a conversation. Will a mere mortal, Teresa, that's you and me, rob from God? That sounds harsh. But if you put yourself in the shoes, does God wear shoes? You put yourself in the shoes of God, his perspective would be everything that you have belongs to me. Therefore, it is mine. And if you don't bring it, my share that I say and require you to do, you are robbing me. He called them thieves. Would we think of ourselves that way? I'm going to say this. We should. Because everything we have belongs to him. And he has asked us to do this. Now, this didn't just apply to the Israelites, to the Jews. This principle applies to us as well. You see, this is what God has decreed so that his message could go forth. There's organization. There's structure. That's a good thing. God has required this of us. To bring the best of what we have. The best and the first, 10%. And to bring it where? God's book says to the storehouse. That would have been the temple. In the day. Here, it is the church. That's what we are to do. And the Lord God says, if you don't do that in its entirety, the whole tithe, you are robbing me of what is mine. Now, here's the good news, Jeff. The Lord God Almighty has made this pretty easy. We can do the math. The Lord invented this thing called the base 10 numbering system. He's made this very easy for us. All you have to do is move the decimal point one position to the left, and that's all you have to do. You don't even have to think about it. Chris, you don't even need a calculator to do this. It is so simple. Let's say, for instance, let's do the math. Let's say the Lord has blessed you with $125. Move the decimal point one position to the left. You are required by the Lord God Almighty, like it or not. And if you fall in love with the Lord God Almighty, this is easy. If you don't, it's hard. You are required to bring $12.50 to where? To the storehouse. Why? Because it's His and He has asked you to. It's as simple as that. That's what He has declared. This is the shortest pathway for us to understand, are we really obedient or not? Do we really trust the Lord or not? And this is the only place in Scripture where the Lord says, test me in this and just see if I'm not telling you the truth. Because this is what He follows this up. You're robbing me, but if you fall in love with me and you're obedient and you bring the whole tithe in its entirety to the storehouse, just wait and see if I won't throw open the floodgates of heaven and there will be so many blessings. It'll make up for that $12.50, I promise, because God's words are true. And His blessing will flow in your life like you can't begin to imagine. From the pastor's heart, from the bottom of my heart, I want blessings to flow in your life. Not because you're all that, but I think you're kind of cool. I want blessings to come in your life because it's an indication that you love the Lord. And it's easy. It is so simple. Once you're in love, to be obedient to the one that you're in love with. Now, here's where it's hard, and then I'm going to make this easy for you. There's a couple of words that we're going to switch around that are going to give you kind of a word imagery. If you're a note taker, this would be a great place to take notes. But the first thing, though, you will never be able to do this. Never. Unless something has to flip. There is a switch that must flip in your thinking. The Lord says, if you want new behaviors, new patterns, to actually do different things, you must think differently. And we can think differently. But until you kind of get this principle and this concept, you will never be able to trust the Lord enough to tithe. You'll be like, ugh, pastor just gave his annual tithing sermon. Somebody needs to pay for the lights around here, I guess, so I'm going to drop a couple extra dollars in the plate, even though, yikes, it hurts. I don't want to. But see, here's the switch that if you flip this, it's easy. But if you don't, it's impossible because you will think of it as, ugh, got to give the Lord some of my money. When you look at your possessions as your possessions, it's impossible to do this. You can't. You'll never do it. Ever. You will never be a tither. When you look at the things that you have, and I'm not just talking about finances, although finance is a big part of this. How about your job or your status in society, where you are, the possessions you have acquired? When you look at all of the things that you have, if you look at them as yours, you will never be able, ever, to bring the whole tithe to the storehouse. Ever. And that's the first problem. That's the first mistake. Because you've earned this stuff. I've worked hard all my life to be where I'm at, and now you're asking me to what? To give 10% of what I have to the Lord God? Is that what you're asking me to do? This is mine, 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 mine. You remember Finding Nemo, the birds? Mine, mine, mine. When you look at things as belonging to you, it's really hard to unclench your fists and give that to somebody else. But you ready for the switch to flip? When you look at not just 10%, not just the $12.50, not just 10%, because you might be able to unclench your fists to give 10%, but there's something better. Instead of thinking as the 10% is belonging to the Lord, what if you looked at everything you have in your life, including your life, Sadie, all of your possessions and everything you have and everything you are is not belonging to you, but belonging to Him. And when you flip that switch, when you realize that everything I am, everything I have belongs to Him, this becomes easy. Why wouldn't I bring the best of what I have to the storehouse? Why wouldn't I serve Him? Why wouldn't I proclaim Him? Why wouldn't I draw near to Him? Why wouldn't I go tell everybody about Him? Everything in life that belongs to you, if you realize that God has given that to you to bring Him glory, this becomes easy. That's the switch that needs to be flipped. And unless you do that, it's just impossible. You can't. You'll never do it. So the secret to this, can we back up some steps? Fall in love with the Lord God Almighty. You will be obedient because you love Him and you want to serve Him. And when you realize that God has given you a purpose, a life on purpose for the purpose of bringing Him glory, everything then belongs to Him. It's just natural. And it's easy to give those things to Him. Now, I told you there was going to be a couple words. We're going to switch some words around. There's two sets of words. Once upon a time, a fella said to me, he says, it's nobody's business what I do with my money. Ooh, mistake. You didn't say that right. He's talking about the tithe. He's talking about giving. But he referred to it as his money. These are two words that we will use often. And I change these. I never use these words. If I use these words, I want you to correct me. Pastor, that's not the correct way to say this. We might say this. I gave my tithe. Okay? Now listen. We're going to switch these words around in a minute. You can't give something that doesn't belong to you. If all of your possessions belong to Him, and certainly the first 10% belong to Him, you can't give it to Him, Derek, because it's already His. You don't give it to Him. You can't give the tithe. Where do I put my tithe, Pastor? It's not yours. It's His. You don't give it. You bring it. You see the difference? I can't give something that I don't own, but I can bring it. If the Lord God has made me caretaker over 100% of my life and 100% of my blessings, and He says, will you bring me the best of who you are? Oh, I'll bring it. As a matter of fact, I will race it. I will go as fast as my little legs will take me because I can't wait to bring to God what is His. It's not mine. I can't give my tithe. I have to bring His tithe. Do you understand the difference? It's not mine. It's His. I don't give mine. I bring His. And when you switch those two words around and they become easy and natural, you have arrived at a place where you realize that nothing I have belongs to me. It's all His. And what a great deal this is. You talking about a great deal. You can't have a better deal than this in all of the world. Here's the way it works. God showers blessings upon Greg. It showers blessings upon Greg. Greg's life is filled with blessings. You were just sharing with me in the hallway some of the blessings you received in the last couple weeks. God's blessings just rain down upon us. Now, if Greg were to look at that and look at his position in life and look at his possessions and saying, well, this is mine and look what I've accomplished, who do you think positioned you where you are, Greg? The Lord God did that. For your purpose? No, for his purpose. Everything belongs that he has been blessed with belongs to the Lord God Almighty. Now, if he were to hold on to what was his, the Lord's blessings would not continue to flow. But if he looks at his possessions, it's not as his, but as belonging to the Lord's, here's what's going to happen. He would realize what a great bargain this is. Are you kidding me? It all belongs to the Lord, and all you are requiring of me, all you are asking of me, is to bring you the best. I didn't have anything. Anybody born into this world with a bunch of possessions and owning a bunch of stuff? Did you have clothes on? Did you have stuff? Nothing you have in life is because of you. You have everything you have because God has chosen to bless you. Now, Greg is smart enough to realize this is a great deal. 100% of what Greg has all belongs to the Lord God Almighty. And here's what the Lord says to Greg. Will you bring me the first 10%? 10%. None of it is his. This is the switch that needs to flip. It's not yours. Not even the 10% is yours. It's all his. Flip the switch. It is all his. And you're only asking for me to bring you the first 10%, and I get to keep the other 90? You can't have a better deal than that. Let me tell you what would be fair. It would be just as fair if the Lord said, will you bring me the first 90%, and I'll let you keep 10? Because none of it's yours to begin with. That would be a good deal, wouldn't it? But he says, bring me 10, and you get to keep 90. Now, he would say, do with the 90 what you want, but my goodness, he would also say, honor me in what you do. Do with it what you want, but make sure the things that you do are going to glorify heaven. But it's yours. It belongs to you now. Do with it what you want. That you can't have a better deal than that. And here's what happens. The Lord promises, test me in this and see if I'm not telling you the truth. That's what he says in the scripture. The Lord will open up the floodgates of heaven and blessings will flow beyond what Greg is able to store. There will be so much blessing that he won't know what to do. Now see, that would bless a pastor's heart because not only do I want Greg and I want all of you to live a blessed life, but I also want you to fall in love with the Lord because when you are blessed, it's indicative, it's reflective that you have fallen in love with the Lord, and that's what I want more for you than anything else. Anything else. But then the third thing, did I tell you there were three things? The backside of blessing is so beautiful. Listen, I want the storehouse of heaven to flow. I want the blessings to flow upon us because I think there's work for us to do as a church. I think there's a dying world that we need to meet, and unless we honor the Lord and are obedient to the Lord and bring the whole tithe to the storehouse, we can adequately and effectively meet a dying world, and people are literally dying. I don't mean physically. I mean spiritually dying. And unless we're obedient in this moment, they might live forever separated from Him. So I want this for all of us, but I want it for them because we should see humanity the way Jesus sees humanity, and we should see them broken and that the way, the quickest way to meet them is to be effective as a body of believers. And when we take God's resources and we honor Him, and He will exponentially, His faithfulness will exponentially make us so much more effective that people will go to heaven because we're obedient right here in this moment. And here's the third part of the blessing. And I love this. He mentions this to Abram, and he mentions it here in the conversation through Malachi to the nation of Israel. When you are blessed, it's not for your benefit. You are blessed to be a blessing. And that is so beautiful. Look, I want God's blessings to flow in your life. I want you to be blessed beyond measure. But it's not just because I love you, Cora. I want God's blessings on your life because here's what you can do then. you can become a blessing. That is why God wants to bless his people, so that we can become a blessing. That's the backside of blessing. That's the most beautiful part of this. And this just happens. This just happens through God's faithfulness. Because people will see that you are different, that you have something that they wish they had. You will be a blessing because you're obedient. You're obedient because you fall in love with the Lord God Almighty. Do you see how these dominoes all connect? Okay, church. The reality is, this is required. It just is. But don't step into this because the pastor says so. If this is hard for you, I would love to have a conversation, but the conversation is going to start with, let's work on your relationship with the Lord God. Let's do that first. And then we'll go from there. So this is a great litmus test. And for those of you that honor the Lord by bringing the whole tithe into the storehouse, thank you. All of the kingdom of heaven thanks you because your obedience matters. His faithfulness is going to matter in somebody else's life. That's just how it works. I don't know about you, but I want to be in on it. I want to be a part of it. I want to trust the Lord that if I take a little bit of what he's blessed me with and I bring it back to him, that he will do more with that than I ever could. Lives will be changed because I am trusting and I am faithful enough to put it back in his hands. It's his to begin with. He's given it to us for us to be able to show him, do we really love him or not? Or do we love him enough to be obedient? Brother Jim and his team are going to come, and they're going to close this service. And remember, when I say you are sent, you are not yet sent to meet a dying world. That'll come after our bellies are full. Wait a minute. You're going to have your belly full, then you're going to take a nap, then you're going to meet a dying world. But nobody's allowed to turn left. Mm-mm. We've locked the doors, so you have to turn right. Amen, Brother Jim? Okay, church. You know what it's like when something comes down from heaven. We might call it, if it's light, we call it a sprinkle. If it's really raining, we might call it a deluge. Like being in a dunk tank. I don't want blessings to sprinkle on you, church. I want to throw that softball and hit that target and dunk you in a deluge of God's blessings. That's what I want for each one of you. But it starts with you falling in love with him. Church, you are sent to the right.